But grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Amazing Grace, and all of our visitors today. And God bless you. It's a glorious day the Lord has given us. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious day. And we praise you, Father God, for every blessing, for every opportunity you give us, Lord, to bring glory to your name, to bring glory to you, and to lift others up and to pray for others and just to see the miracles that you do each day in our lives, Father God. It is an amazing journey, and we thank you, Father, for every blessing. We ask that you bless this word this morning, Father God, and all who are here, who have ears to hear it, Father God, that it may change us, that it may bless us, and that it may deliver us, Father God. We thank you for your word and your promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Hallelujah. My sermon title today is Today is the Day of Salvation. Amen. And today is the day, huh? Okay, all right. Today is the day of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
All right. What is that? Oh. That was an altar call that we had at the lookup celebration. Amen. Out there at Fountain Hills. And that's going to tie into my opening story here. Amen. I recently heard a terrible story about a young man who made a bad decision or didn't make a good decision. There was a church that was performing a drama about hell, and a mother brought her 26-year-old son who had been in rehab to watch the performance. And at the end of the performance, when the pastor gave the altar call invitation, the mother got up to go to the altar along with 500 other people. Amen? And hence the picture, okay? But she asked the young man, her son, she said, asked him to go with her so he could give his heart to the Lord. And you know what he told her? He said, I can't decide. I can't decide right now. Amen? It was kind of like King Agrippa in today's text where he tells Paul, you think you can persuade me this quickly to become a Christian? Amen? This young man said, I can't decide right now. So the mother tried unsuccessfully to convince him, and then she went forward, and she got saved along with 500 other people. Amen? Praise God. But the tragedy of that story, okay, is that 2 days later, they found this young man dead of an overdose. Amen? 2 days later. He's gone, okay? Did he make the decision before he died? Only God knows, amen? Only God knows. But his mother gave him that opportunity, amen? But postponing it, postponing our salvation, postponing giving our lives to Christ, that is the devil's ploy, amen? That's the devil's ploy in our lives. Now, of course, the devil's ploy for all of us is to completely forego the opportunity to give Christ, to give our lives to Christ. Amen? That's what the devil wants us to do until it's too late. Amen? And in fact, last Sunday, we were all given the opportunity right here in the sanctuary to give our lives to Christ. Amen? And I believe most of you, if not all of you, did, were here. So take that, devil. Amen? Take that. Take that. And just like the Apostle Paul, you know, I pray that everyone is smart enough. Amen? And brave enough, okay? Brave enough to give their lives to Christ, because it does take courage, okay, to stand against the world. Amen? It does take courage to stand against the world and the peer pressure and the temptations of this world. Amen? It takes courage to stand against all that, especially for our younger generation today. Amen? And so Paul's in this building as well, okay? Just like this, but a lot larger than this. And it's an auditorium. And he's speaking to these important people because they all need to be saved too. Amen? Everybody needs to be saved. Okay? And so all the important people of the region are there. Okay? With the most important one, of course, being the king. King Agrippa is there. Okay? And his sister wife, Bernice, is with him. Right? Sister wife? That's an inside joke if you've been following along with us. Weird guy, yeah. And then Governor Festus as well, okay? And remember, they're the ones sitting on the bema seats, right? Sitting up high, okay? They're the important people in the room. Amen? And now Paul's making his defense to this room full of important non-believers. Amen? And he's telling them how and why he got into trouble for spreading the gospel message about who Jesus is when he came to earth, okay? So he's pleading his case. And as he delivers the message, he says, that is why, I got to do the vision for you guys here. That is why, he says, that I'm standing here in these chains today. Amen? I borrowed these from Pastor Rolf. And I'm going to leave them on for the rest of the sermon, okay? But he also says, let me tell you why I switched over to Team Jesus. Amen. Kim, did you get that picture? Okay. One more? Okay. All right. She posts everything on Facebook. Okay, so then Paul begins to speak of the amazing encounter that he had on that road to Damascus that we all know about. Amen? And he tells them how he was on the way to persecute the Christians when he met Christ himself. Okay? He met Christ himself. Now, this isn't the first time he's told this story, but remember, every time he tells this story, he gets into more detail. Amen? And he's getting into more detail today. So with no fear and definitely no shame, Paul starts to plead his case. Amen? And at the same time, he starts to witness to those that had the power to end his life right then and there. Okay? He knew how important this witness was to be with these leaders of Judea. Okay? So you see, Paul was in chains, right? But the most powerful thing in that building on that day was going to be Paul's witness. That was the most powerful thing, not those leaders, not the king, not anybody. Paul's witness of what Christ did in his life, that was going to be the most powerful thing in that room. So in chains, Paul begins speaking to the king, okay? And, okay, here it is, verse 19. So it says, "So then, King Agrippa," he says, "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds." Paul was saying, amen, that when he had come to, when he had this come to Jesus moment, okay, of the light, they said, shining brighter than the sun, right? When he had this come to Jesus moment, the Lord himself was telling him that he was alive. The Lord was saying, I'm alive, see? I have risen, amen? Amen. And that he was actually persecuting the Lord. Jesus is telling him, you're persecuting me. You're not persecuting anyone other than me, right? He says, when you persecute these people, you're persecuting me. He said, and, you know, and so he's speaking to him about that, and it was hard, Paul said, for him to ignore that message, right? It was hard for him, and it can be the same can be true for us. When the Lord shines so bright and speaks directly to us, amen, in a language that we can easily understand, it's hard for us to ignore that message. Amen. At least it should be, amen? It should be hard for us to ignore that message. And by the way, it's not a very smart thing to do either, to ignore the Lord when he's speaking to you, amen? That's not a smart thing to do. So if God is speaking to you in any form or fashion, you might want to listen. Amen? You might want to listen. So Paul said, the risen Savior and Messiah that we've all been waiting for was speaking to me. Right? And he said, I wasn't about to ignore that. Right? I'm going to listen to my Lord. And so he said, I took the Lord's instructions. I dedicated my life to being a witness, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. And then in verse 20, he inadvertently gives a little instruction to those present on how to turn to God. Amen? He's talking to these non-believers, amen? And he's letting them know this is how you turn to God. Amen? He says, the first thing you have to do is repent. Right? The first thing you have to do is repent, then turn to God, okay? Then turn to God, and lastly, do works that confirm your repentant faith. Amen? We're not saved by works, but it's a profession of our faith. Amen? just like baptism is. You see, all you have to do all three of these things to receive Christ. Amen? First, we have to turn to God. We do that by turning our lives and our wills over to the care of God, trusting in Him for everything. Amen? Second, we have to repent, right? We have to repent. And how do we do that? We do that by turning away from our sin, realizing our sin first, right? And then turning away from it. Amen? That's the second thing. And lastly, we have to make it evident in our lives by righteous living. Amen? Righteous living. People will know you're a Christian. Amen? By your words. Amen? So, renewing of our... And lastly, you know, by doing that, that's the renewing of our minds, renewing the way we live. Amen? The renewing of our minds changes us. If our minds are truly renewed, then our actions will be as well. So I use that dry drunk example very often. Amen? When I'm talking to people about this, you know, I say any of us can quit drinking or whatever your hurt, hang up, or habit is, right? Any of us can quit that any day of the week. But if we don't change the way we walk and the way we talk and the way we live, then it's impossible for God to use us in a mighty way. Amen? You can quit. We can all quit drinking and quit whatever it is that we're doing. But we have to allow God to change us, change our minds. Amen? So Paul's saying that vision and that message changed him, right? It changed him. And because of that, he said... I have dedicated my life to the purpose that God has given me. Right? He heard the message and he honored the message. And that's why I stand before you today in these chains. Amen? For God's purpose, right? For God's purpose. Right? And that's what we all should be doing. So he continues. He said, and that's why some of the Jews, right, seized me in the temple, he said, in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God helped me to this very day. So I stand here and I testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. Amen. That the Messiah would suffer as the first to rise from the dead. Amen? To rise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Paul was saying that they imprisoned him and they tried to kill him for doing nothing but just professing what Moses and the prophets had said. Amen? And that he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong that he deserved to be in chains. He's like, what have I done to deserve this? Amen? He's saying, I knew, King. He said, I knew, and now you know that I didn't deserve what they have done to me. Right? You know, I knew, you know. They seized me, they tried to kill me, and they locked me up, he said, but God, right? But God has helped me to this very day, right? And that's God's will, amen? It helped him to stay alive and to testify to both small people like the ones that were trying to persecute him, amen? And to great people like the ones that he was speaking to today. And all this was the sacrifice, amen? Because the sacrifice of the Savior was universal. It was for all of them, not just for the Jew or just for the Gentile, for all of us, amen? The Christ sacrifice on the cross is for all of us. Paul said, God is helping me so I can help you. And you guys are trying to put me in jail and put me in chains, right? I'm just here to help you. God is using me, he said, to reach others, including the Gentiles. That was their main problem, amen? That was the main reason for his persecution, is that he was trying to help the Gentiles. And we talked about this before, amen? They were very prejudiced, amen? And that was the whole reason for his persecution, was the main reason was that he was trying to help the Gentiles, but he was doing what the Lord called him to do. That's the important part, amen? Every time I go to preach and I go to speak in the jails, there's always at least one inmate, amen, that always stands out for God. Every time, amen? Always. One inmate that has the light of Christ in his eyes, amen? And he speaks strongly about the Word of God, right? And you can just feel it, man, strongly. You see, the Lord even uses prisoners to spread the gospel, amen? They're both in the first century church, back to what we're preaching on today, and today. Amen? There are some powerful Bible studies going on in the jails and in the prisons. Amen? Very powerful. And Paul, even in chains, amen, is going to bring a very powerful Bible study to these leaders in Caesarea. Okay? But that's the that God can use anyone at any time. That's the point. Amen? So you see, Paul's greatest concern was not his freedom from the chains. Amen? That wasn't his concern. But his freedom to preach the gospel. That's what he was concerned with. Chains or no chains. Amen? He wanted to preach the gospel. That was to be his purpose that God had given him. That was to be his spiritual gift, if you will. Amen? To preach the gospel. And the Great Commission would be the focus of the rest of his earthly life. Amen? That was going to be his focus. Paul would look at his chains as an opportunity rather than a hindrance. Amen? It was an opportunity rather than a hindrance. And we got to remember that too, because we look at things in the world. You know, the world looks at things in the flesh. Amen? And so they look at blessings, the world looks at blessings as being more comfortable in life. Right? That's how the world looks at it, right? The only way you can be blessed is if you're more comfortable. There's some very comfortable guys right there. Amen? But I'm not going to say anything else. No names, okay? But God's purpose for us isn't always going to be easy or comfortable. Amen? We're not all going to have jets and mansions and all that. Amen? But it shouldn't be about us anyways, okay? It's not about us. It should always be about the one who saves, right? That's who it's about. That's who it's about. Because today is the day of salvation, right? Not tomorrow, not maybe next week or maybe next year. Today is the day of salvation. And so Paul was always more interested in telling people about Jesus than any of his personal needs, right? There he is in chains. He's more worried about writing his epistles than the chains that he's in. Amen? He knew what his mission was. It was literally God first in everything he did. And it should be the same for us. Amen? God first in everything. God first, then family, and then everything else. Amen? Amen? God first. And so he delivered this message of salvation to the king, saying that these things, they're not my words. They're the words of the prophets and Moses that you already know about, that you have read about over and over. And he says, you know this, King. You know the Old Testament, right? He was a Jew too. You know the Old Testament scriptures that would say that the Lord was going to raise up a prophet like Moses from the Israelites to speak in God's name. This was that prophet. Amen? Jesus was that prophet. There's Paul in chains, okay? He's telling a king, you know that what I'm saying is true, and you might want to repent and receive this message yourself. Amen. Right? It's like all of us need to. Amen? Well, Festus couldn't take it anymore. Remember, Festus isn't a believer, okay? He gets up from his bema seat, okay? And he says, At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense, and he said, you are out of your mind, Paul. You're crazy, Paul, right? He shouted, your great learning is driving you insane, right? Couldn't take it anymore. Festus may have been presiding over Paul's trial, but he was far from a believer, amen? He was far from a believer in Christ. He was only worried about keeping the peace. Okay, and upholding Roman law. That was his job, amen? And because he didn't believe or even know about God's word, Paul's words and courageous speech towards the king seemed crazy to him. That's why he said, are you nuts? What are you saying? Who are you talking to? Amen? The message of Jesus is always going to seem crazy to those who do not believe or understand his word. Amen. Right? It's always going to seem like foolishness to them. Amen? And that's another reason that's so important for us to live out this great commission that's set before us as believers. Amen? It's very important for us to do that in everywhere we go and everything we do. And I want to mention something. As I was driving in here this morning, coming down Camelback from 83rd Avenue, a lot of homeless people around. Amen? And of course, we love them too. Amen. But it back in the day when we were out there doing our drugs and running the streets and all that, we did everything in secrecy, in hiding. We were hiding all the time. Amen. These people today are just standing there on the corner doing the drugs right at the bus stop. Amen. I saw a guy with the biggest meth pipe I've ever seen this morning, just standing right at the bus stop, right on the street, smoking the pipe right there in front of everybody, right? Amen? That is the world we live in today. Amen? And that's why the gospel message, the Great Commission, is so much more important today than it's ever been. Because people like that may never hear that gospel message if we don't bring it to them. Amen. Amen? And that's why we do the ministries that we do, the homeless outreach ministry. And we'll be talking about that in our announcements today. And the homeless outreach ministry, the jail ministry, and the recovery ministry, because of people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And those guys standing on the corner doing that, they need to hear that word too. But be careful, okay? Be careful out there. But so it's important for us to live out that Great Commission so that others may know Christ and receive eternal life. We want everyone to go to heaven. Amen? And so that should be our main concern above everything else, and always put God first. Amen? So Festus is going to look at Paul as someone who was out of his mind, right? But Paul was going to respond by saying, "I'm not insane. I'm not insane, most excellent Festus." Paul replied, "What I'm saying is true and reasonable," right? It's true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. He knows what I'm talking about. I am convinced that none of this had escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. It was done out in the open, right? Right out in the wide open. Paul was saying to Festus, "I'm speaking the truth, and I'm addressing the king because he's familiar with God's word. He's familiar with the truth." Now, also notice Paul says that what he was saying was reasonable, right? Reasonable, because Christianity is a reasonable religion. Amen? It's reasonable, and it's based on reasonable facts, okay? That's what makes it reasonable. It's based on facts, amen? And it's based on facts and the truth of God's word, okay? And belief in this is called faith, right? Belief in the truth is called faith. Not a blind faith, but a faith in the truth of God's word, right? That's what we got to have, a truth in God's word. It's true that Jesus walked the earth, right? We know that, and he performed many miracles. It's true that Jesus really did die on a cross as a substitute for our sins. There's proof of that. It's true that he rose from the dead, and he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. We truly believe that. Amen? Amen. And it's true that because of all this, we can have eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. We got to believe that every word in the Bible is the truth. Okay? Evidence that in God's eyes demands a verdict. Okay? Which is a great book, one of my textbooks from seminary, but Pastor, you know the book. Some of you know the book. But this is evidence that demands a verdict, and that verdict is that we give our lives to Christ. Amen? We give our lives to Christ and recognize salvation for what it is and spread that gospel message. Paul was going to put his faith in the truth of the gospel message day in and day out, despite his chains, despite his circumstances, right? The number one thing for him was to give that message. And of course, we're all called to do the same thing. Amen? Each of us. To put God first and be a witness for Christ no matter how hard life gets. Right? No matter how hard life gets, because it's about eternity. It's about eternity. So then the prisoner in chains, he speaks directly to the king. He says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Paul had used his response to Festus as a lead-in to challenge the king, right? He was going to challenge the king, but he wouldn't say, "Do you believe in Jesus?" Right? He wasn't going to say that, amen? He would say, "Do you believe in the prophets?" Because he knew he did, right? Because he knew he did, and Paul would also knew that believing in the prophets could bring anybody to faith in Jesus Christ. If you truly believe in the prophets and what they professed, then you're going to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? Because they preached about Jesus Christ. And so Paul brought the challenge of a decision directly to the king, right? The decision to the king. This is a very necessary part of being a witness for Christ. Challenging the listener to make a decision in their life, right? Because you have to make that decision. Nobody can make it for you. Amen? Challenging to make a decision. And with a reminder that today is the day of salvation. Today, right here, right now. We can't wait. We got to make the best of today. Amen? Paul was saying, if you believe in the prophets, you have to believe in Jesus. Yeah, and then Agrippa says to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Seriously, right? And Paul tells him, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. Yeah. Right? Amen? Yeah. Amen? That we may all be saved. Paul's mission was to bring the gospel to all the people. Everybody. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. But the king would have a hard time making that choice, just like the son did at the beginning, at that story, right? He was going to have a hard time making that choice. And you know why? Because he knew whether it was the truth or not, he was living in sin. Amen? He was living in sin. And there are a lot of people in the world that are not saved because they don't want to give up their sins. Amen? They don't want to give up their sins. But remember, the wages of sin is death. Amen? The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen? We've got to remember that. And the king probably realized that he's going to lose his sister wife, right? All of his immoral friends, right? Right? He's going to lose all the fun stuff, right? Amen? According to him, right? Right. My brother... That's what the devil wants us to believe. Amen? That's not the truth. Amen? The truth is God's word and his promise. My brother Walter Sharkey used to say, sinning is fun, speaking about. I mean, he was a man of God, but he used to tell me this was the reason for people not believing or not wanting to give their lives. He would say, sinning is fun, and people don't want to give that up. People don't want to give that up. I don't think that King Agrippa was ready to give up his lifestyle. And that's a problem for a lot of people, amen? But today is the day of salvation, amen? I think that the king might have needed a road to Damascus experience himself, right? And he would have got it if it was God's will, amen? Just like you'll get a road to Damascus experience if it's God's will, amen? You will. And so maybe he was afraid Festus would think he was crazy too, right? Because, you know, he might have even thought that he became a Christian. If he became a Christian, he might have to give up his kingship, right? He wouldn't want to do that either. He had to give up his kingship and end up in chains like Paul. You know, what kind of fun is that, right, in the world, right? You want to end up in chains. Amen? So Paul would preach the message that everybody needs to hear. Charles Spurgeon said, true dignity rests in wearing chains upon the arms rather than enduring the chain upon the soul, right? True dignity is wearing these chains rather than having that chain around your heart, around your soul. Amen. Paul would show them that even though he was in chains, he had more freedom in Jesus than any of those royal dignitaries had. He was more free than all of the people in that room. Amen. And so before they could be convinced or at least received a guilty conscience, they all got up. Amen. It says the king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them, and after they left the room, they began to say to one another, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. And then Agrippa said to Festus, he said, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. They knew he hadn't done anything wrong, at least nothing to deserve this, right? Amen? So I guess Paul's challenge was too much for them to bear, and they're all going to get up and leave the room. Okay? They would all get up. But at the same time, they had heard enough evidence, or lack of evidence, if you will, to see that Paul was not guilty. Okay? Paul was not guilty. They would even profess it. But unfortunately, Paul could not be set free. Amen? Because he had appealed to Caesar. Right? It seemed that Paul couldn't win for losing. Amen? At least that's what it looked like to the world, right? But he sure knew how to survive, right? He knew how to survive, and he knew how to stir people up. This was all for the gospel. Amen? Some say it was a bad thing that Paul was trusting in the power of the Roman government rather than the power of God. That he would have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar, but God's will was still being done. That's the point. Amen? God's will was still being done. It's not about us being comfortable. Amen? And Paul would still get that free ride to Rome, okay? And the opportunity to preach to a Roman emperor, to Caesar himself. Amen? And the same way he preached to these kings today, to the king today. So he would fulfill the promise that Jesus made that Paul would bear his name before kings. Right? Nothing was going to get in the way of that. Paul's famous appeal to Caesar and that journey to Rome at the empire's expense, thanks to Caesar, amen, would actually be the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit's purpose to send Paul to Rome. Right? All of this was part of God's plan, okay? This would also answer a long-standing desire in the heart of Paul to visit the already present Christian community that was in Rome, right? He had been trying to get to Rome for a long time. Amen? So nobody was going to get in the way of that. It was God's will. Amen? It was God's will. And of course, he would spend his final years in chains in Rome. Amen? Aided by his good friend Luke, right? Aided by Luke and writing epistles for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So he would be loyal to the end because he knew, okay, he knew that every day was a day of salvation. So don't forget that, people. Amen? Every day is the day of salvation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity you give us each and every day to repent, to turn from our sins, to give our lives to you, to enjoy and celebrate eternal life that you have promised us, that you have gone to prepare a place for us, Lord. Lord, help us to have the courage and the wisdom to go out and spread that gospel message, to show others, Lord, the light of Christ that's in us and in our lives, in our actions, and everything we do. Help us to help others, Father. Give us the peace that beyond the understanding of this world. Give us the hope, Lord, that we can't find in this world. The hope in a kingdom that you have prepared for us. Father, we thank you for this message today. We lift up all those who couldn't be here, Father. We lift up all those watching online. And we lift up all those listening, Father God, that they may have ears to hear and receive your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray.